Welcome to Minority Corner.
With an Eke.
And James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only more black, gay.
And ladylike.
Hello, ladies. Step into my parlor.
Ew.
Don't forget your gay best friend.
Whee!
Yay!
This week on Minority Corner.
I go first.
Okay, go.
Oh my gosh. After much confusion, this week on Minority Corner...
What are you talking about?
Aneke, it's part two of my investigation into RuPaul. Last week, we kind of looked into a lot of the great, interesting ideas that RuPaul has that are problematic in and of themselves.
Yes.
And this week, we're just going to look at how RuPaul in general is just problematic.
Okay, we're going to just...
Is RuPaul just anti-blackness walking around in blackface?
Interesting.
We're gonna talk.
We need to talk about that.
What are you doing, lady?
I am going to talk about five
golden rings.
Beautiful Japanese American women activists who are left out of U.S. history, continuing the trend of talking about other minorities, POCs, women who have shaped American history.
I fucking love this. Yes, please. Minority Corner, it's for everyone. We open our doors to you.
We open our arms and our doors.
Our bosoms.
Just waiting to be embraced.
Butts,
just embrace you all.
Our penises.
Okay.
Our eyes.
Sure.
Our noses.
We're...
The space in between our toes.
Just all of our orifices.
Just come on in.
Open.
My epidermis, which is showing.
Ew. You need to cover that up.
Your epidermis is showing, Aneke. You're in Aneke, it's your skin. Ha 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 ha. Science joke.
Cover it up.
Your epidermis. Yes. You're so brutish, Aneke. I like to let my epidermis fly and show. I'll show you in the next corner. Come look at my epidermis. Come here, everybody.
I'm scared.
Quickly.
I'm scared.
It'll be fine. Okay. Trust me. Take my hand.
Okay. Whee, let's go together. Together.
Ow.
James.
Oh my God,
yeah.
Guess what?
Yes.
I am so far away from you. I'm not next to you right now.
I know, we're not. We can't do a high five. We can't touch each other,
yeah.
But I see
like,
you.
Like, watch, look, we'll try to high five. See? You didn't even try.
Well, because we have the delay. It just looked like your mouth is moving, and then you just cluck.
Oh God! I can see you, but it's like watching a dubbed Japanese or kung fu movie.
That's exactly
where
how you
the
are.
Mouths are not matching up. It's really weird.
So just to tell the audience right now, we have this whole Jerry rig situation where we're talking on the phone and then we like go into Google Hangout so we could see each other, but there's a delay. So all I see is James sometimes moving around, and then I hear what he does. And it matches up. See, now he's dancing. And then I hear the laugh.
No, I'm not.
Stop it. Now you're shaking your head. Oh, now you're saying, no, I'm not.
See? It's weird. So, there's a lot of shenanigans happening.
And there is.
So, I want to point out, Aneke, I just want to put this out. It's like it's 1996 in your world. I just want to point this out to everybody.
Why?
Aneke, because Aneke is using her phone like it's a phone.
How am I using...
Because you were going to call me at 2, and then you were like, sorry, I was on the phone with my aunt, and then I'm like, I'll call you back in 10 minutes, and then she's like, I call back, and she's like, oh, I'm on the other line. She had to put me on hold. Like, you know, someone who's using their phone, like it's 1996.
I am a woman in demand, and...
You are. And that case is high in demand. You've
got
to schedule your phone call with her ahead of time.
Because I'm just
always on
the
phone. I
barely
got on the list.
I know.
She's always just on the phone.
Normally, I text, and I never talk on the phone. But for some reason, this morning has been chatty town. I don't even...
It's kind of empowering when you're like, you know what, today I'm going to, like, call two or three people. If you can have three phones... Isn't it kind of cool? You're like, ooh, I just took care of that right now. Ooh, I called someone.
I know, I did. I felt like a businesswoman. Buy, sell.
Like the other day, I had to call the Berkeley Bowl to see if my ID was there. They were not open.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, you lost your ID?
And I wasn't even like, I know, that's like some 21-year-old shit.
How did you fly back to New York?
Listen, the less I speak about this online, I have connections. No, I have a passport. I flew around the country with my passport. Because I am an international European traveler.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, that's so true.
And then I was out with my friends in San Francisco, and I couldn't, on a Tuesday night, went out with my my gay besties, and I couldn't get into a bar.
Oh my God.
I was like, what? I was like, are you serious? The dude was like, you know, texting or Tindering or something, the bouncer guy.
Oh my God. He went,
let me in. I had to sweet talk my way into one bar for us to be able to, for me to get in. I had to like, please, and bat my eyelashes and show my shoulder skin.
Ew.
Show my shoulder epidermis.
That sounds nasty.
Anything to get my shoulder skin. Anything to get in, Aneke. I had to get into this bar. On a Tuesday night.
That shit happens to people when they're like 23.
Okay, I know.
You are a man in your 30s.
I am not on trial here. I'd like to point this out. What happened was I was at the Berkeley Bowl and they have this, was there to watch DJ Questlove. I went last week.
Was it?
No, 2 weeks ago.
Berkeley Bowl, DJ Questlove. Questlove was at the Berkeley
Bowl. Oh, I'm sorry. The Brooklyn Bowl. I forgot. Okay.
Whew.
Girl, I barely know what city I am, let alone country, time zone, whatever.
P.S. Do you know what the Berkeley Bowl is?
Is there a Berkeley Bowl?
Yeah, it's a hippie ass grocery store in Berkeley.
That is not where I lost my ID.
Yeah, where you go to, like, that bins and get, like, granola. Like, I'm not... I literally thought you dropped your ID at a grocery store in Berkeley.
Where DJ Questlove was performing.
I know. No. When you said that, I was like, wait, what? What?
Something's wrong here.
Hold on.
But they need your ID. Instead of, like, running up a tab, you use your ID or something. I don't know. Weird things happen. But...
When you were going to get some quinoa from the bin next to the dried papaya.
Just getting a fucking beer. I am, you know, as sad as I am to be away from you, I'm grateful to be back on this time zone. It was really challenging for my bae and I with the 9-hour time zone difference. That shit was weird.
I know, because we recorded when you were in Amsterdam, and it nearly killed me.
Shit got weird. Right, yes. Well, like, because I would talk to Jerome, like, at, like, you know, 11 o'clock my time, about to go to bed, and then it was, like, he's driving to work.
Yeah.
Right? So, my background's hella dark night timing, and he's got bright sunshine.
I know.
And then after we finished the phone call, I'm like, okay, what are you gonna do? He's like, I'm gonna go to work. I'm like, I'm gonna go to bed. Then, like, 7 hours later, he's done with work. I just wake up. Like, just what we were... I'll sleep. You go to work.
Yes, it was just that's weird. Exactly... Remember when we were recording, you're like, I'm having dinner. And it was in the morning for me. And you're like, I don't want to record because I'm in the middle of having dinner. I was like, fine. Go to bed. And when you wake up, you record at nighttime with me. And then next thing you know, it's 2 in the morning. And I'm cracky. And most of you guys are like, drinking coffee. Having a morning. And I'm like, I need to go to bed.
We were. Do you know what's funny? They have no idea what you're talking about because they don't know that Jerome was interviewed. It's the lost interview of Jerome. Where we talk about what it's like to deal with racism in Europe and being an ally and to be in an interracial relationship. So that's an episode that's somewhere.
It's coming.
You might listen to it
around the bend. You'll hear it at some point.
Aneke, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Hamilton. Have you heard about this?
Yes. I sent you... Well, I want to see this musical so bad that I'm willing to fly to fucking New York to go see it. Two, I want you to be in it so bad. And I sent you the listing for it, which has now become controversial.
Yes. Well, if you don't know what Hamilton is... Where have you been? It was like the retelling of the founding of America with like extremely amazing colorblind casting and done with like... hip-hop and like, it's you know
Lin-Manuel, is that his name, right?
Yeah, Lin-Manuel, yeah. And it's just it's amazing. It's sweeping the country and they're just about to do a tour, and well they're gearing up for new actors to join this current cast and also to go out on the touring cast, which the tour is going to debut in San Francisco next year in 2017.
I know. We were getting, advertisements here being like, Hamilton's coming in 2017. And everybody here is like, no!
But you have to buy those tickets now. And they're already going to be super expensive. It's funny. If I do book that show, I'd be back in San Francisco for like 21 weeks.
And then you could get me in.
I don't know if it works that way in that
case. Yeah, it does.
Okay. Anything for you. Yes, that's true. So anyways, Hamilton just put out this huge casting list. And in the casting ad, they said non-white actors. Like, they're seeking non-white actors.
Right.
And people have gone up a blaze about this.
Which is stupid. They're calling
it reverse racism.
It's not. That doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist, right. Yeah, so, and it's funny. Yeah, so, but, like, you see, I see this all the time in castings as an actor. Mm-hmm. I see Caucasians only, like, it's the 50s.
And right.
I can't go in a swimming pool. I see it all the time. Yes. It's a thing. And this is a preference for this show, and I think one of the things that makes Hamilton, I haven't seen the show, but I imagine what makes it so engaging is that you are seeing these Black and Latino actors playing these roles of our founding fathers, and it speaks to just, you know, we talked about this before, you know, about who made America, you know, it wasn't just some white dudes.
Right.
America's made up of so many different races and cultures, and now we're having a show that is reflecting that. And it's also through hip-hop, which has its roots in Black culture, so...
Right. It's weird to me that people are upset that there's this listing out there. Anybody who's done anything in theater, acting, television, movies, whatever, knows that people cast on a race basis. People go, okay, I want a Black actor for this. Okay, I want a white actor for this. I need a person of color for this. So it's weird. I think the only reason that this is getting attention is because Hamilton is so popular.
Well, I think so too. And I think it's because white folks are like, hey, we want to get on this popular, amazing thing too.
Right. Can we just have something?
And that's the thing is that like, they're like, well, like, can I be in The Color Purple now? You know?
No.
And but that show is like, yeah, that show is like, or can I be in For Colored Girls?
Get out of here.
And it's like, because those shows are specifically about those, you know, when you, every time you're having a story that's about someone's race, someone's background, is about the story as well, then no. Right. But this Hamilton could actually be played by anybody. But I think what makes it interesting is the way that they've gone to diverse cast it. And right. I would point out that people like Shonda Rhimes and all of her shows, like, they purposely didn't write last names to any of the characters on Grey's Anatomy. They just wrote first names because they didn't want the last names to connotate that it would be a specific race of anybody. They just wanted the best actor for the job.
Right, colorblind casting.
Which, even that term is problematic because...
That's true. I mean,
color blindness doesn't really exist.
But I do like the term of, like, just cast anybody, the right person for the role. Because of that.
Not just anybody, but...
But, you know, the right person anybody. For the role. Just anybody.
Cast that lady over there who...
She'll be fine.
She's on fire.
She'll work it out.
She'll make it work.
Maybe she'll figure it out. Give her a week.
She's still on fire. And just the other thing, too, is that, like, people are like, well, but you're calling for a Black Spider-Man and a Black James Bond. And just, again, their whiteness isn't tied to the character's mythology. Like, James Bond isn't about being a white man, neither is Spider-Man. Spider-Man's about being an outsider. James Bond is about being a sexy badass.
And he's a fake character.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Like, literally. Not a real person. Right. So he could literally be anything.
I mean, you could cast, like, a poodle as Spider-Man and it'd be fine.
That'd be cute.
Spider-Man poodle? Wait, no, Spider-Poodle? Spider-Poodle.
Spider-Poodle.
I'm sorry. I have to put this out on blast. I think the poodle is my least favorite thing in the world. I think it's silly.
You don't like poodles?
I think it's ridiculous. Unless, says who? The poodle? Of course a poodle will tell you that. I ain't got no love, no time for poodles.
You should like poodles because they are hypoallergenic and you can be in a room full of poodles and you wouldn't die.
That's kind of comforting and terrifying. I have this thing, like, could you imagine a room full of, like, 80 poodles and they're kind of hungry and aggressive?
Well, if they're sweet poodles, if they're baby poodles, I'd be into it. If I could have a room full of baby poodles just, like...
Why is their hair so ridiculous?
Because owners do that.
Well, they need to quit. I'm standing up for poodle rights.
A normal poodle just looks like a bunch of shaggy curls.
Oh, that's cute. That's fine. What's wrong with that? Do it up, poodle.
Say what's
I think I would also like to do a breeding. Okay, this is way off topic in that game. But you know what I would like to do?
What?
I would like to take a poodle.
Why a poodle?
And a poodle. Because, you know, I'd like to take a poodle.
Okay.
And mix it with a Rottweiler. Does that sound crazy? And call it like a
Well,
a
I have
rock.
Two rots. I love my rots.
Yeah, well, but they need some poodle in them, and you can make it a Rottweiler, and then if you mix a
it
Chihuahua
a
in it, it'll be a Rottweiler Wawa, right? So then
I don't like Chihuahuas.
What? Like, don't discriminate. Don't discriminate. I think the poodle needs a little bit more because it's got that silly haircut. Like, why is its hair so silly?
Just don't cut its hair like that, because when you just leave it alone, it's like a cute little shaggy dog. It's like a shaggy curly
then
dog.
People need to leave them poodles alone.
Leave
them alone.
Leave them poodles alone.
So, Nekka, I'm going to come over and I'm... Does your dog want some poodle in it?
No.
No.
I don't want your man poodle business. You can leave your man poodles at home.
She wants
because
it.
My lady dogs are elegant, elegant bitches.
They need
that
a poodle
to
in
be
their
treated
lives.
Right.
They need a manly ass poodle to spread their business all over.
I don't.
And it'll be good.
I don't trust no man poodles around my dogs.
That should be the name of your next book.
I don't trust no man poodles around my dogs. A biography of a Nekka Fitzclark. My story. Her
Adam's
story.
Fine. If you close the door on me, I'm just gonna go into your next door neighbors. You're gonna see me in the neighborhood.
Just you walking around.
Pimp out my male poodle.
With your man poodle business. Excuse me, miss. Would you like a couple man poodle? It's available for service.
Yes, His name is Lenny. You want some of Lenny? Do you want some of Lenny Poodle?
Lenny? Like Lenny Kravitz? Are you naming your poodle after Lenny Kravitz?
Yeah, exactly. Because he's a stud.
I think that's the only Lenny that I know.
I know like Lenny.
Is Lenny?
Lenny from the of Mice and Men. He like murders that girl.
Hold up. Lenny Kravitz. Is his real name Leonard Kravitz?
I hope so. And I see why he changed it.
That's amazing.
No offense to any of you out there.
Excuse me, my allergies are crazy. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry, sneezy girl. That's why I had to get out of that place.
I know.
My allergies, there's nothing here. There's like one tree in New York. There's no trees. There's one tree. I avoid
I'm
it.
So jealous. It's like sad and beautiful at the same time. Like, I wish I had no allergies, but I kind of like being around trees. Ah, it's a double-edged sword.
No time for trees over here. I will say, I can't talk about this. I was going to talk about something that happened at my job, how I kind of got propositioned by a prostitute and her pimp at my job, but...
What?
I can't legally talk about it. It's classified.
So wait, you just bring it up and say you can't talk about it?
Pretty much. But I will say, she came for orientation, and she had her boa and everything ready to go.
She had a... Are you kidding me? Is this like some movie version of a prostitute? Was it Julia Roberts?
And it was in San Francisco. What are you all doing? And her husband dropped her off, and then I had to kick her out, because I looked at her profile, and she'd been flagged for like warnings of like being fraudulent.
What? This is crazy.
So,
that's
like,
insane.
Oh, ma'am, I can't allow you to stay.
Oh my God.
Because I think you're trying to use our platform to prostitute yourself.
Was she Mae West with her feather boa?
She had like these huge heels. Like, it was just like this leopard print dress. It was
what?
Out of control. Out of control. So I had to give her the boot.
This is insane.
Anyways,
oh
shall we go to the corners and talk about things that Well, poodles are minorities too, so I think that's okay that
no,
we talk about them.
Poodles are hella popular. That is a popular ass dog.
Well, they're allies in the dog kingdom, so I thought we.
Oh, okay.
I will say that there was, I forget, I was at a friend, Alex O. There's a magazine devoted just to poodles if you're interested to continue this poodle conversation.
God, I remember this.
I was at a friend's house, Alex O's house, at a party, and it was like me, Renee. No.
It was at your own house.
Oh, I was living there. And one of our roommates had a magazine of poodles, or like, it was like a poodle weekly, and even had parts like highlighted, like, ooh, this is a good thing to know about poodles.
Wait, I love that you're like, oh, is that my friend's house? Wait, no, my house.
I forgot I was living there for a period of time. Anywho, now that that's out of the bag.
Y'all talked about that goddamn magazine for like months.
Still talking about it.
The one party I didn't go to, next thing you know, y'all are like, Poodles Digest or whatever the hell.
This is a picture of two poodles on the cover. They're silly. Okay, well, we're all lubed up. We're all locked up and lubed just, up. Let's slide on into my corner.
Let's just move on.
All right, see you in the Rue Corner.
Let's do it.
It's gonna get Rue crazy.
Rue crazy. RuPaul's Drag Race.
Part 2. All right. Anake.
Hi.
Hey, girl. So last week we introduced RuPaul and a lot of RuPaul's interesting ideas. And basically what it comes down to, RuPaul is just kind of like, do whatever you want.
Right.
It's all a joke. Don't be so sensitive.
Yeah, and the world is performative. Everything is performative, right?
Right.
That was kind of like the stance where it's like everything is performing and performative.
And yeah, you can just do whatever you want. You can work cover girl. Work it, girl. Do your thing.
Sissy that walk.
Do your thing on that runway. So, there's another person who is like, put the brakes on all
this
RuPaul stuff.
Who that?
Her name is Cat Black.
Cat Black. Oh, I read this article too. Yes.
Yeah, she has her own, YouTube channel as well called True Tea, where she serves up the tea.
Ooh. For y'all that don't know... Tea is like a gossip, truth.
It's like the truth.
To read somebody.
Yeah, you gotta sip on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny watching her show because it's what I love about it is she's just beautiful and amazing. And it's interesting because she's using a lot of the language and dialogue that we normally see like from a man dressed up in a dress using. And it was actually really refreshing seeing this woman.
She's a
black woman,
right? Yeah.
Be like, yes, and show black womanness and not having to see it through the lens or filter of a white man dressed up as a woman or even a black man dressed up as a woman. Like, it was really refreshing to see this, you know, powerful, wonderful, just black woman, or just seeing this black woman being a black woman talking about black things.
Okay. Yeah.
So it was really refreshing. So I recommend her YouTube channel, True Tea. And she kind of, like, her whole entire thing, that she also wrote an article for the Huffington Post. She even wrote something on her blog.
Right.
She talks about how she believes that RuPaul presents a black narrative that is acceptable by the white mainstream.
Mm.
And essentially has accused RuPaul of being anti-black and essentially dressing up in blackface.
Oh, snap. Here we go.
Yeah. So here we go.
That's
buckle
a big
up,
claim,
ladies and gentlemen.
Honestly. That's a big... That, considering the history of being black and performing black, those are big. Because as many of you might know or might not know, that during vaudeville days, a lot of black, white people would dress up like black people, call it blackface. That's why we don't like white people putting on black makeup, because it invokes the performance, which was derogatory towards black people. And then on top of that, the only roles that black people could get would be in vaudeville, dressing up as a fake black person and performing in a way that is not necessarily true to the African-American experience.
Right. And it's like these big overtop stereotypes, some of which still persist today, like as the silly, funny, goofy black best friend sidekick type character and role. So she was asked by fans, and also like a lot of the black queens on RuPaul, the way that they get edited on the TV show, they're like, you know, sassy and loud and
head snapping.
You know, controversial and snapping. Yeah. And so, you know, is this a missed opportunity from RuPaul to actually uplift black culture?
Mm.
You know, RuPaul handpicks these women or these drag queens and, you know, kind of picks these people who become these sort of caricatures. And Cat Black also states, she's like, she credits that RuPaul has been a trailblazer in some ways. I mean, obviously, you know, she's helping to put drag culture on such a mainstream level, even though Ru's like, I'm not mainstream. It's like, but
you're kind of mainstream,
you are.
Ru.
Yeah.
Everybody knows who you are.
And Cat Black even says, you know, that part of being mainstream is appealing to majority groups in America. And sometimes what that means is engaging in anti-blackness. And she even says that RuPaul is not the only person to do this. And you could even think about those, you know, Eddie Murphy, perhaps, you know, with the clumps or the crumps.
Okay.
Or even Big Mama's House with Martin Lawrence, you know?
Or anything that Tyler Perry does.
Anything that Tyler Perry goes. They love seeing it. They're like, ooh, look at them. Ooh, look at them praising that Lord. Ooh, that mom. What's her name? Ooh, Madea. She's so crazy.
My grandma is not like Madea, everyone.
She does not carry a gun and a Bible.
When I turn into an old black lady, I will not be Madea, everyone.
Are you sure? I don't know. I see it coming.
Hey, I'm watching you.
I'm kidding.
I'm watching you from across the computer screen.
I see that. I'm scared. So... Kat goes into her first display of example of Rue's anti-blackness, and I just watched this music video, and I have some comments too. So RuPaul has a music video called Looking Good and Feeling Gorgeous. Have you seen this?
Uh-uh, I haven't seen it.
So in the beginning of the video, Rue is dressed like a very large, large black woman, sitting in like just panties and bra, a large woman.
Oh no.
Messed up teeth, crazy wild, like kinky hair.
This is already big problematic.
Big nose. Oh, it gets worse. She's holding a bucket of chicken and a banana in hand. So a banana.
A banana.
And a fucking chicken. And she's just like, it's like her being interviewed for like a makeover show. And she's like, I'm going to do this. But she's like, I just go at home and I just cry myself to sleep at night because I'm so ugly.
I
want to be pretty on the inside. I want to be pretty on the outside the way I feel on the inside. And she's just like swearing. She's like cussing at her dog. She's like, shut up, motherfucker.
This is making me want to vomit.
Oh, it gets even worse. She says, I want my nose to look like a Jackson.
No.
I want them lighter skin. I want to look like Beyonce.
Stop it.
So bringing up like the issue of colorism, which we talked about before.
Yes.
So there's a bunch of takes like this. And so it's essentially, you know, we're seeing the image. And this is straight out of blackface. The mammy. The mammy is a type of character that's in blackface. Where it's, performative. And you'd see this in blackface.
Right.
And so we're seeing this again, the mammy. I'm not sexy, fat, disgusting, ridiculous, hideous.
It perpetuates the stereotype that we're still, like, where our noses that are larger, that are wider, are not acceptable or beautiful, but they are. That our dark skin is not acceptable and not beautiful, but it is. That our curly hair is not beautiful, but, you know, it's like...
All of that. Everything that we've
been talking about. When it's hurtful to other people, that's when it becomes problematic.
Totally. And here she is putting it out here on a music video. And then she then goes in, she's on like display, kind of like the Venus Hottentot, essentially. She's on display. And there's all these things that are pointing at what's wrong with her body and what they're going to fix.
Stop it.
And then the white surgeon goes in and operates on her. It's a bloody mess. He does all the work. And then out pops, busting through the doors, a beautiful RuPaul with like Britney Spears colored blonde hair, like super blonde, the lighter skin tone, thin, like you couldn't get any blonder. And then white doctor opens up his shirt and he's like this white buff guy who's now ready to fuck her because the mammy, no. But now she's got the approval of white hot doctor. And
this
so even
is
that casting of that, like why couldn't
about this?
Why couldn't that have been, you know, an Asian hot doctor or a Latino hot doctor, you know, not even that need to be like a black hot doctor, but like it's still that almost that approval of wanting to get the approval from the white male gaze.
Never heard of this video and it makes me so sad. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Oh no, James.
So Kat Black says, like, watching this video, she's like, you know, I feel like RuPaul is a white man in blackface. You know,
basically, yes.
Only seems to connect to his blackness through these stereotypes. Mm-hmm. But you also have to look at, like, who you're performing this for. Like, he's performing these things for majority white audiences.
Right.
You know, and is this performative? You know, is this the point? Is the joke actually on the white audience?
Right. It's there's like a thin line between being performative, where it's like you're performing and you're embracing and enjoying and a tribute and it's fun and silly. But then there's a part where it gets hurtful, and I feel like this video is crossing the line of where it hurts now. It's
true.
It's not fun. It's not enjoyable because it's targeting a certain group who just can't enjoy it. I feel like as a black woman, I couldn't enjoy that video.
And then what happens is then like people, you know, you're having these white audiences and they're laughing at this. And again, like it becomes the joke. Like the mammy becomes the joke, right?
Right.
So, you know, then Kat actually says, you know, blacks are rewarded in society for for displaying anti-blackness. You know, look at Stacey Dash, or anytime a black person comes out against Black Lives Matter, these folks get celebrated. But they're actually just being they're being tools. And Kat Black even, oh, she also spells her last name with like a Q, like B-L-A-Q-U-E.
Ooh, I like that.
Because you display yourself as the exceptional Negro who's willing to operate in the name of white power and supremacy with a black face. And the white folks love that.
That's called saying, being an Uncle Tom.
Or what is the lady name? Uncle Tammy? Or wait.
Oh, I haven't.
Aunt,
did you?
Aunt Tammy?
Sure, I haven't Aunt heard Tam. That, but okay.
You know, just putting it all out there.
Yeah.
And so it gives, it's almost, it gives, you know, these folks, and Kat says that she got, so when she talked about this on, she called RuPaul out on her video, she got attacked by a lot of white gay audiences who were like, who, anytime they're being, they, she got attacked. And, you know, a lot of people are like, but I love RuPaul. I can't be racist. Or they'll, they get a lot of the black queens on there get a lot of hate, and it could be through like the editing that they're getting. And you know, RuPaul would essentially just sign off on people's racist behavior because RuPaul is just like, hey, everybody stop being so sensitive. And here's my example of how RuPaul has done this.
Yeah.
Shirley Q. Licker. Do you know who Shirley Q. Licker is?
No.
I might have briefly talked about Shirley Q. Licker. This, okay, Shirley Q. Licker is a comedian, quote unquote.
Okay.
By the name of Chuck Nip in real life, but Shirley Q. Licker is his alternate personality.
It's, oh no, here we go.
Chuck Nip is a white guy, white comedian.
Uh-huh.
And Shirley Q. Licker is his character that he does this one-woman show, or this one-person show.
I'm scared dressed up as Shirley Q. Licker. As hell.
Shirley Q. Licker, he does it in blackface.
No!
She's a large black woman.
No!
She's drunk, she's loud, she's this big black woman, she loves eating fried chicken, she has songs.
This
and
is
he throughout he this is not like this is a long time ago. This is from the 90s to the 2000s. And
stop.
I had a professor once at UC Santa Cruz argue about that this performance is actually okay. Like this
no.
style performance. Like it's performative. Like we're moving on about this. It's a caricature.
No.
I guess, well, you know who says yes?
Who?
RuPaul.
Of course.
And RuPaul has this to say. Critics who think that Shirley Q. Licker is offensive are idiots. Listen, I've been discriminated against by everybody in the world, gay people, black people, whatever. I know discrimination, I know racism, and I know it very intimately. She's not racist. If she were, she wouldn't be on my new CD. And she was referring to Shirley Q. Licker actually has a verse on Supermodel.
James.
Yes, Emeka?
I'm gonna say something.
Yeah.
This is where RuPaul is using his male privilege and not understanding what it is to be a woman.
It's literally the next point I actually was going to say, and I'm glad you said it. I'll let you take it away. Yes.
I feel like he doesn't understand. Yeah, he's been discriminated as a black person. He's been discriminated as a gay man. He's been discriminated even probably as a drag queen. Mm-hmm. None of those are what it, he doesn't know what it's like to be a black woman.
Absolutely.
And he's using his, I don't, God, I'm so speechless because this is like so painful for me because I've actually really kind of enjoyed RuPaul and I've always loved his, you know, kind of irreverence about things. But I guess when it hits home, that's when you realize the danger in it.
Yeah.
And as a black woman, he doesn't understand the hurt and pain of what it is to be discriminated against in your appearance and judged purely on that and all the history behind the whole mammy image like you brought up and how he's perpetuating it and embracing a white man who's performing this. This is...
It's almost like a line has been crossed. It's sort of like this one thing, it's like, perhaps it's one thing that actually we as black people can actually reclaim blackface, and I think it could be done very interestingly if I'm doing a show that's having a conversation about it. But the difference is when you're inviting white audiences to come and laugh at these black folks and these stereotypes and these tropes.
Right.
And that's sort of the difference. And I agree with you about, like, I think this is just a pure example of male privilege, not understanding the disrespect of black women throughout history, how these black women have been dehumanized, demeaned, attacked. Like, and so that's, I think in general in drag queen culture, it's sort of like, you know, I get it, it's fun, but, like, are we also saying it's fun, it's funny to be a woman? Oh, I'm a man, you know? And I also think it's, like, I think what a missed opportunity. I think this RuPaul music video, like, I'm also just interested in having more gay icons in terms of, like, gay men being gay men and lusting after other gay men.
I think, we were talking about
so
this last week.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Where is that? why do we need this screen of this woman for it to be okay for us to be sexual publicly in front of other people?
Right. Right.
So she also, you know, Cat Black put on a blast that, you know, a lot of times RuPaul does these, like, you know, acting skits and things that they have to do. Mm-hmm. And so they did an Empire one.
Oh, and... right. I just watched that. Mm.
Okay. So, and so they did an Empire episode, and yeah. they were essentially, I didn't see this, but they were encouraged, even with Faith Evans was there, and they were pretty much directed to be, you know, caricatures of black people. You know, yeah. They needed more tongues. Quote, unquote, they needed more, hood. Yeah, tongues popping, snapping their necks, black sense, you know, things that, like, I've been told to do in, like, a casting session, and I'm like, fuck that. Like, right. Can you do this more black-like? And, like, you know, somebody on the production team thought this was going to be a fucking hilarious idea. And it's sort of like Rue, I don't know. I do know. Rue just doesn't get it or doesn't care or doesn't think it's an issue.
It was a lot of, okay, so here's, actually, I have a good deconstruction of this.
Okay.
So I watched yesterday, I spent a lot of time just watching TV. As you do.
As you do.
And
no judgment, no shame.
And I watched two things that actually kind of go hand in hand. So I watched a lot of the new season of RuPaul's Drag Race, and I saw the one where they had to do the mock Empire skit, where they had a bunch of there were black queens, and there are also non-black queens wearing Afro wigs and, you know, doing stuff like that, which was, to me, there were some lines that went over, but then there was also some lines that were borderline. And I think Rue is missing the point because there, after I watched that, I watched a Bravo What Happens Next, which is, you know, Andy Cohen's after show where he has like hella big celebrities and like weird Bravo celebrities, right, like housewives and shit.
Yeah.
And so RuPaul was on there with one of the housewives, Candy Burrs from Atlanta. And Candy Burrs was talking about, you know, Atlanta and getting, you know, super Southern. And then RuPaul was like, ooh, child, I'm from Atlanta. So whenever I'm around you Atlanta girls, I get real hood, and started talking like that. And it was funny and it worked there because he was with
his black people. He was with his people.
Connecting.
Right.
Connecting that way.
Yeah.
And I think he misses the point that when you step out of that realm and now you're with people who are not one Southern, who are not black women, who are not black,
yeah,
it becomes a different thing. It becomes less of a connection and a down home and more of a joke and a make fun of.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Totally. I mean, and Rue talks about this thing about shape shifting, and I think that's really an interesting thing. And I think, you know, I've come to terms, I'm a shapeshifter, as I think that's why a lot of gay people are actors, because we get really good at shapeshifting. And I think I think it's a great gift and it's a great power, but with great power comes, you know, great responsibility. And like, I think gay people in general, or like not all, but like a lot of queer people, I'll say queer people, have the ability to tap into both their male and female, like we all have male female energies and parts to us, and some stronger than others. And, you know, sometimes when I'm around, like, different kinds of people or different groups of people, and it's not like I'm being inauthentic, because I have an awareness that these are all aspects of me. Like, I am very masculine. I'm also very feminine. And I can go into those different things. I can be hella sassy, and I can be hella professional, you know? And it's not me being inauthentic, but it's me not even, like, adapting, but it's being able to, like, transform myself. And it's not an inauthentic sort of way. And I guess it's, like, being aware of when you're doing it, who you're doing, and it's just awareness, you know? And
right, like with you, because we're both black, I feel more comfortable being like,
It's almost,
being that aspect
it's
of
almost
me.
Almost like speaking, we speak the same language, and we can speak it.
Right.
You know?
Right. And with my white friends, I may not do that, but it doesn't mean I'm being inauthentic. It's just code switching.
Your ability to shapeshift, those things that you own. And so if you don't own that and you're not connected to that culture, like, it's like you've got to do the research in the same way that, like, if I'm going to speak Spanish, and I got to really fucking speak Spanish and understand Spanish. And if people call me out for speaking like a gringo, well, I have to own that, because I'm not Spanish. Maybe my accent is, you know, terrible, you know.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
like, I'm not a part of that culture. I'm not going to try and fake it.
I do want to point out something that I saw that was really interesting. And just, we're talking about Empire, that she was doing an Empire spoof. And I just read this article that Empire is not doing well overseas. Like, here in the U.S., it's this huge smash hit. And some Fox execs are like, oh, well, they don't want to see an all-black cast over in Europe.
Why not?
Well, that's what they said. And I think, like, I'd like to believe that Europeans are not like that. I think, are you giving, like, how are you marketing this? Because I will say this, when I was also in Italy, there was all these advertisements for, like, all these, like, American TV shows. And, like, still front and center was, like, Meredith from Grey's Anatomy, right? That show's hella old.
Okay. Yeah.
There was no advertisement. Like, where was Kerry Washington or Viola Davis, right?
There was no scandal.
There was no scandal. What? And all of the pictures were of all, like, these, you know, there's, like, the CSI white actors. It was all these, like, American television stars, and they all were white. So Europe is still being fed this message of America whiteness. And they're missing out on How to Get Away with Murder. As my boyfriend just, he finished it, and he, like, I haven't finished season two, and that shit's crazy. But he finished watching it without me. He was like, he's like, you can't give me this amazing show and expect me not to finish it.
Yeah, it's, I think that that's definitely, like, I think you hit the nail on the head, because I feel like European culture especially loves Black American culture. Like, there was a whole article that I read about in France where they cherish Black Americans so much that they look down on Black French people, that it's like this weird thing. Like, we're like, Black Americans who are expats in France, they will dumb down their French because they cherish Black Americans, which is problematic.
Right.
And it's really fucked up. And that's a whole another nut to crack open.
Yeah.
But that just proves that they should be marketing Empire because there is a desire to see it.
Yeah. I mean, it is a very specific niche, you know, with hip hop culture, but just because it's entirely Black cast does not mean that, you know, they're not,
it's not wanted,
ready for it. So they listen to hip hop. So I just kind of want to wrap up here, and I do think that this Rue is perhaps missing an opportunity to uplift Black culture more.
Yes.
And, you know, but I think at the same time, what's kind of disappointing, Rue doesn't care. Mm. Like, Rue would tell me, get over it, bitch.
Yeah.
And that I'm being too sensitive. But
that's so fucked up.
I think, you know, part of understanding is that we have to accept, you know, this is... we have to accept that racism exists. We have to accept that there are these inequalities, because only through, and not saying that we're okay with it, acceptance and being okay with something is different, but accepting that these things exist, and then we can compassionately move forward and navigate. And
exactly.
And that's how we can begin to heal. So we have to, you know, acknowledge it. And
I love that.
You know, I think that, you know, and I think RuPaul's Drag Race is doing great things today on this day and age, but I think it's okay to look at, like, where it's also coming up short, because then the next generation of it can be better. For example, you would never do a show like Will and Grace nowadays. Like, I think it's you couldn't do Will and Grace now. But at the time, it was very revolutionary, and you could do it. Even then, it was still problematic from some people, but, like, it was necessary to help start to break down walls, but you would never do that exact show again.
Totally.
Or Three's Company.
Totally. You need... It's stepping stones.
Because, you know, he was pretending to be... In Three's Company, he was pretending to be gay so he could live with the two female roommates and the landlord wouldn't get upset.
Which is bizarre. That's the most bizarre thing in my life.
Couldn't do that today. So, Cat Black, in closing, she thinks that Rue might be a gay icon, but not a Black icon.
Oh, man. And I think I think your point is so correct, where it's like, we need to constantly be making adjustments. We need to constantly be checking ourselves, changing ourselves, adapting. And let's not step on one group to lift up another group.
So next week, just to give you a little tidbit, I'm going to be talking about, I'm already ready. I'm ready.
Look at you. I am ready. I'm ready for you.
Next week, I'm going to be talking. Oh, why don't I talk about this at the end of the show? I'll talk about this.
You don't want to give us a little taste right
now? Why don't we... No. Fine. I guess we'll see if it goes here, and I might edit it out, and if not. Okay. Next week, I'm going to be talking about, remember, hashtag Oscars so white. Well, there's a new one in town, and it's hashtag gay media so white. That's right. Gay media. Oh. I'm going to be coming after you next week.
You better watch out. You better hold on to your hats, gay media.
And as you look into this next week, everybody, think about how often you see non-white, you know, gay men visibly in on magazines or in ads, and that are not specifically about HIV and STD testing.
Oh, interesting. So I'm ready. I'm excited for next week. Are we on
the magazine covers? Are we in the ads? I don't know. Take a look, and we'll find out next week.
Damn, James, that was a really good teaser.
Thank you. So we're...
I'm tintillated. But
this week, we still have more. What's going on next, Aneke?
Oh my God, we're about to talk about some rad-ass five Japanese-American women activists. Y'all ready?
Yes, let's do it. I can't wait. I'm excited. Get me over there.
Let's go.
All right, girl.
Ready.
Gonna drop some truth bombs on you. Oh, we're done.
Okay, well, yeah. Okay. No, it was, sorry. I was enjoying it. Okay, I was sitting back. It was beautiful.
Oh, okay.
So, continuing the tradition that you started with us focusing on the beautiful, complex world of people of color in the United States and their activism, I am going to talk about five Japanese-American women activists.
Awesome. Every time you say five, I keep thinking you're going to go, five golden rings.
Well, then, these are the golden rings of activism in America.
Oh, nice.
Now, was that good? That was good.
Well played. You get all my snaps.
You get all my snaps.
I can't snap with my left finger, but my right one is doing it.
Uh-oh, you need to dry up. Do you think when you snap... does it need to be dry or does it need to be moist fingers?
Oh, I like to wet it. I sometimes lick my fingers like I, you know, just like I just got done eating chicken. Which I'm okay saying publicly because everybody likes fried chicken. So
it's true.
Don't be like, oh, look at that black man. He loves his chicken. Chicken. Everybody loves chicken. So get off.
It's true. The things that people say that black people like are just delicious. I'm sorry.
Everybody loves watermelon. My boyfriend loves watermelon.
It's delicious, even though I'm afraid to eat it at barbecues. I think we've talked about this before, but it's
I will not. I will not eat watermelon or fried chicken around a group of white people. Terrible.
Oh, see what you've done to us, America. Anyways. Okay, so our first amazing Japanese-American woman activist is named Akiko Hirzig Yoshinaga. Okay, so Akiko was a hardworking single mom who resettled in New York after the war and became an assistant director of a public health organization, providing, as she put it, education about venereal diseases.
Nice. Oh, they were having that shit back then.
Oh, did you know, side note, that one of the first jobs that both Disney and Dr. Seuss did during World War II were to create cute little videos to tell the soldiers not to bang around town and not get syphilis and other STDs.
Holy shitballs. That's amazing.
Right?
I'm trying to forget, like, you think that STDs are just, like, a new thing since, like, the 70s? Shit has been,
Yeah.
And you know what? And also just a little, you know, and it's not a big deal. I think that there's such a stigma around STDs and STIs.
Just go get tested. And then it's clean like, yourself up.
And it's like getting a cold on your dick or your vagina. Like, it's fine.
Achoo.
Not a big deal.
Yes, it's true. And also, if you don't get yourself tested, you can go crazy. Like, Al Capone went crazy because he had a venereal disease. Okay, so, moving on from venereal diseases.
On to the next one. Onward and upwards, as Nana used to say.
Ooh, aw. So, okay, so Akiko, after she was the assistant director of a public health organization that was educating people about venereal diseases, in the 1960s, and this was after the war, so this is in the 40s and the 50s. So in the 1960s, she joined Asian Americans for Action, AAA, a group led by lady activists and a few guys down with the struggle, and got involved in the civil rights movement and protest against Vietnam War. In 1978, Hirzig Yoshinaga moved to Washington, D.C. She dove headfirst into the National Archives, working 50 to 60 hours a week, cataloging information on wartime incarceration. Hello?
What?
Library of Science, double love her.
So what I love already is already off the bat, we're talking about, like, STDs and STIs and incarceration. Two things that tend to affect, you know, people of color communities.
Right.
More.
And this is just awesome. One freaking woman. She's the best.
Oh, this is just all the same woman.
Yeah, this is all the same woman.
I want a million statues of her.
A million statues of Akiko Hirzig Yoshinaga. So she uncovered evidence disproving government claims of military necessity of the Japanese internment camps. Her findings were the foundation of the report leading to the Red Dress Bill, as well as the as a case that overturned convictions for challenging the exclusion.
Wow.
So let's give a couple snaps to Akiko Hirzig Yoshinaga.
Great job. I also think it's so crazy that it took someone to investigate and say, hey, these camps, stop it.
This was fucked up.
There needed to be an investigation of should we be doing this?
Y'all, Jesus. I know.
And I will say that that wasn't that long ago. And I feel like the Asian community has been hella forgiving.
And I would be. Well, people are angry. George Takei, he has a show on Broadway right now all about the internment.
Because we don't talk about that shit enough. That is America's dirty, forgotten World War II secret that should not be so secret. Because everyone wants to put Hitler on blast, and yes, absolutely, but America.
Hello, beloved FDR did this.
Yeah.
Not
cool at all.
Hey, let's round up a bunch of American citizens just because of their heritage and put them in camps for years.
Sounds very similar to what Trump is proposing. But anyways.
Yeah. History repeats itself. Let's just be cautious of that. So our next woman, Michi Nishiura Wiglin, author of Years of Infamy, was 15 when her family was evacuated to the Gila River. Not one to let the man get her down, Wedlin spent her time in camp heading her high school's forensic league, winning awards for writing and public speaking and organizing young women's associations. And when we say camp, we mean the internment camps during World War II.
Yeah, they're not at summer camp. She's not playing volleyball and badminton and learning how to make, some underwater basket weaving shit.
Right? This is some fucked up shit.
This is not fun. What did they do at those camps, though? Did they put them to work or anything?
I think they were just there.
Okay.
I need to research this.
If anybody has any information, I'd be interested, because did they just have them just hanging out there? So it's sort of prison or...
Prison, yeah.
Or did they make them build things or some shit? Prison.
Which is prison. So, Michi, she left the internment camp to major in biology. Her education was cut short when she contracted tuberculosis. Oh, no.
No. Fucking TB, man.
So after moving to New York, she became a costume designer for the Perry Como show.
Work it out.
Yes.
Work it out.
And she devoted herself to researching the untold story of the concentration camps. In 1975, she published what became known as the Bible of the Red Dress Movement. Her book exposed prejudice and misinformation as the driving forces behind the incarceration and bolstered support for the growing movement. She later turned her attention to Japanese Latin America and others who had been denied reparations, advocating on their behalf well into the 1990s.
Hold up. Japanese Latin America? Mind blown.
Yeah. In Brazil, there's a huge population of Japanese
people. Well, and I was looking at something too, just Latin America is so fascinating too, because there's also a huge, Afro-Latinos have difficulty because they don't feel like they fit in with either culture. And so there's no space for them.
It's interesting. The whole thing between Afro-Latinos is fascinating to me because so many... people have a hard time understanding that you can be both Latino and Black.
What do you mean, Aneke? What? You're just one or the other. Just one thing or the other, right? What do you mean? I don't understand. You're talking crazy, girl.
Believe it? What? Slaves were brought to Latin America as well. Whoa. You can be Latino and Black at the same time. So number three. Aki Kuros. She is a social justice advocate, award-winning teacher of math, science, and peace, an all-around amazing human being. Growing up in a diverse neighborhood in Seattle, Kuros was encouraged by her parents to challenge stereotypes and aspire to more than changing diapers and sweeping floors, which is, you know, made, you know, what a lot of us POCs are relegated to is just service mm-hmm. work. Nothing mm-hmm. wrong to it, but, you know. Okay, so upon returning to Seattle after the war, Kuros worked for a inter-ethnic porter union. Then, after some first-hand experience with discriminatory, sorry, it's been sold already, realtors, I just want to point out there, and I know we've talked about it before, but housing is a huge way to keep my people of color separated from white populations.
That's what happened in Oregon. That's right. Why Oregon is so white. Like, black people can own property in Portland.
Right, exactly. All other races couldn't own property.
Yeah.
They just not allowed to. So this is what she encountered. She became involved in the open housing movement. So she was all about everybody needs to live together and not be excluded from communities. And in the 1970s, she began teaching and was soon transferred to an affluent, essentially all-white school as part of the district's desegregation plan. This is in the 1970s. Kuros managed to do her job despite having to put up with the criticism and surveillance of racist concerned parents. She helped integrate students of color into school, pushed their teachers to adopt multicultural education, and generally killed it in the classroom. She received the United Nations Human Rights Award in 1992.
Nice.
So
these ladies all need movies, like their own separate movie.
And they would be powerful and amazing. And people
and
would
Oscar-winning performances. We need these every year. These movies need to be pounded out, and it would create roles and opportunities for Asian American actors.
Right.
And would get the information and story out there. These movies need to be made. These stories need to be told.
Right. I know. Okay, this woman, I love this woman. Number four, Yuri Kochiyama. Oh, God. So, Yuri Kochiyama is best known for her friendship with Malcolm X. There's a famous photo of her kneeling over him after he was assassinated. So these two were hella close.
Oh my God, heartbreaking. She was like right there.
She was right there.
She was not in that movie, Spike Lee. You did not cast that scene right.
Exactly. So we need to hold our bargain to black people.
We need to reboot that movie.
No erasure. From her perspective, that would be tight. So, So Yuri was a revolutionary in her own right. Her respectively privileged childhood came to an abrupt end when her father was arrested by the FBI immediately after Pearl Harbor. After 6 weeks in detention, which aggravated existing health conditions, Yuri's father died upon his release. Imprisoned in Jerome, Arkansas during the war, she relocated in prison internment camp again. All these Japanese Americans were in internment camps during the war. This is a huge chunk of our population that we did this to. I can't believe it.
So that's why I'm so fascinated of like why are more, and I don't know the answer to this, maybe there are and I'm just not hearing it, but like, I mean, this was not that long ago, so I'm wondering why there's not more Asian Americans who are out there like demanding like reparations and demanding people's entire homes and families were fucking everything taken away from them, and that was just very not that long ago, so I'm wondering why there's a mistrust of the American government.
There's that. I know. I wish that I don't. There's a, go see, if you're in New York and you have some money, go see George Takei's
show. Go see George Takei's show. Okay.
Yeah.
I will do it. I don't have any money, but okay.
Just kidding. Yeah. Somebody take James to the play.
Somebody take me.
Yuri, then after she left the internment camp, she went to New York with her family and adopted increasingly radical political views, and she also joined Asian Americans for Action, and AAA, and other civil rights organizations. So Kochiyama came in contact with the civil rights movement through Malcolm X, and she continued to work with black nationalist groups well past his 1965 assassination, supporting political prisoners and building coalitions between black and Asian American activists. She also advocated for nuclear disarmament and the end of the Vietnam War. Japanese American red dress, Puerto Rican independence, and many other issues until her death in 2014. Rest in power.
Wow, she just died recently.
Yeah. Of all of these women, they all deserve a movie. I think Yuri is one of the more known in the activist community. And mm-hmm. considering her involvement in all of these different aspects, her life is amazing. To hear all of this would be... Get on it, Shonda. Come on, Shonda, help us out.
Oh, yeah, Shonda, you'd be the one to bring it in.
I know.
Oh, you know Kerry Washington has that new movie coming out about what's-her-face?
Oh, yeah, about...
Anita Bryant?
Yeah, no, Anita Hill. Anita Hill.
Too many Anitas. It's like, Anita Bryant was the one that they put the pie in her face because she was saying bad things about gay people.
Oh, yeah, no, Anita Hill is way different.
Okay.
Yeah, her and Whoops, Clarence Thomas.
Very different Anitas. To Clarence Howard?
Clarence Thomas.
You know I'm bad with names.
Thank God.
Terrence Howard? This is getting confusing. So, okay, anyways, I'm looking for... why did I bring that up? Because it's a movie about a woman throughout history who's... We have not gotten to hear her story.
Yes. And we get to hear it and see it.
Although on all the posters, I just think like, oh, what's Olivia Pope doing? I know.
Why is Olivia Pope in the 80s? What's happening?
I get so confused. Oh, also at work when I'm doing my orientations training people.
Yeah.
And, you know, helping them to make smart decisions when out there in the field. Mm-hmm. I work for TaskRabbit. And I always tell people, I'm like, and when all else fails, just Olivia Pope it.
Ooh, trust that's good. Bet. Oh, I love that. That's really good.
Most people don't know what I'm talking about, but like there'll be like three ladies who'll be like, yeah, okay, I got you. I'm gonna put on my white hat.
As long as you connect with those three ladies, you are doing your job.
That's all. I'm working for them. Okay. Anyways, Aneke, thank you for
I have one more.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't cut me off. Excuse you.
Like at the Oscars, Aneke, thank you for your time. That's been great. All right, coming up next, everybody.
I got one more fool. I'm doing this.
It was so much, and they did so much, I thought we were at 5 already. I almost can't handle another one, but okay.
You ready? The last one. Yes. You're going to like her, because do you know why you're going to like her? Because her name is Cherry.
Ah! I'm in. If you guys don't know this, we have an obsession with Cherry Jones.
The actress. I don't know why, but we do. But anyway, so Cherry Kinoshita. Cherry Kinoshita spent a lot of time in male-dominated spaces. Oftentimes, she was the only woman in the room, but she had no problem holding her own, even when her colleague made fun of her for being emotional and womanly. Mm-hmm. So, a former inmate in Minidoka, she returned to Seattle, once again another goddamn internment camp. She returned to Seattle with her husband after the war and joined the local Japanese American Citizen League. She was chapter president at the time of the Red Dress Movement, began to gain steam in the 1970s, would go on to serve as vice governor of the Northwest District and vice president of the Japanese American Citizen League's national board. Cherry helped with the grassroots movement off the ground, took the lead in preparing the community for hearings for the... CWRIC hearings, which I need to research myself, and was heavily involved in lobbying for reparations, all while facing opposition from those who said dredging up the incarceration history would only cause trouble. In her spare time, she ran a successful campaign to force the Seattle School District to compensate clerks that they fired in response to Pearl Harbor. Uh-huh. So, Cherry, yeah, you go, girl.
Wait, the internment camps, where were they located in America?
I believe that there's definitely a bunch in California, and then I want to say the Southwest as well, mm-hmm. and some in the mm-hmm. South. So the West and the South.
Not surprised that they're in the South.
Right, but a lot in California. Mm. Yeah. So, and mostly over here because that's where
a big population.
Right. Yeah, that's a lot of Japanese people immigrated over to the West Coast. I want to
see more movies about that. Like, that's a huge part of American history. And again, going back to acceptance, we have to accept these things and move, then we can move forward. Instead of just ignoring that they happen. Like, I think it's very interesting stories. And
yes.
It's interesting that we don't talk about. There's a million World War II movies about fighting the Nazis, but nothing about
what happened here.
We did here.
Right. Let's talk about our own history. Embrace it, dissect it, look at the heroes, and really just get to know our history as a whole. We'll do nothing but gain and learn from it. So absolutely. That's why I wanted to bring up these wonderful ladies.
Otherwise, it becomes the danger of repeating it. I think now is a perfect time to do something like that because you can look and people like see it and be like, oh shit. This is what we would be doing if we did this with, like, Muslims or other groups of people or Latinos or something.
Exactly. Exactly. So, there we go. I did my five. There's my five ladies.
Oh, was that five?
That's five. Stop it.
I mean, oh, because I thought the first lady was already two because she's already doing so much. I was like, well, there's no way this could have been done by more than one.
I know, these ladies. These ladies are ballers. Man.
I'm like, shit, I need to get to work. I'm not doing enough.
Work, 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 work.
Work, work. My movie would just be like, James started a podcast and went to Europe. And
I know. That's it. Mine would be called Naked Planned a Wedding.
That's it. Naked, we need to get on this. I know. We got to take this to the streets.
I know.
We got to make Minority Corner the movie has to be epic. When they come and make the movie about us, we gotta do something else.
We do. Taking it to the street.
Taking it to Quizlet Corner. Coming up next.
Woo! Quizlet Corner. That was kind of like a mashup.
I was on the wrong song. I'm sorry.
But, you know, we made it work.
Oh, we're taking the Quizlet
this
to the streets.
Is
we should do a Quizlet a Corner on the streets.
Missy Elliott production.
Remix. Y'all didn't know Missy Elliott, she came on and she didn't want to be interviewed, but she wanted to remix our song.
She just did it just now. She left. Did. Bye, Missy. Bye, girl.
Bye. I'll see y'all later.
Bye.
Okay, girl. Glad you're not dying.
Yeah.
Somebody thought she was dying. All right. Dying.
I'm ready.
All right, your quiz at corner. One
quiz
of
me.
These.
Quiz me.
Little miss.
Quiz me.
It's not true.
One, okay.
I've been stumbling.
One of these out of how many?
Four. And I've been getting you. I've been getting you lately.
I know. You got me last week. You got me. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm ready.
Here we go. Oh, wait. No, there's five.
P.S.
I lied. There's
Did
five.
Did you know that
there's
I
five.
Haven't been wearing a bra this whole time we've been recording?
Didn't know. What? Okay. But now everybody knows. Underneath your roots.
Loose nippies.
Now that's all you can picture is your nippies touching your root sweater.
That's
all right.
What they're doing. Okay.
All right, here we go. There's five. One of these is not true.
Okay.
Nintendo fired an employee for being a feminazi.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Number two could be true, could not be true. A straight guy wishes that he was gay so people wouldn't be so off-put by his queerness.
What? Okay.
Do you need me to read that again? Was that... You got it?
One more time. Let me just hear that one more time.
A straight guy wishes he were gay, so people wouldn't be so off-put by his queerness.
All right, I need to hear the story of that one, so let's keep going.
Number three, Mr. Smithers finally came out of the closet in The Simpsons.
It's only been 28 years, but let's keep going.
Number four, in Mexico, soccer stars came out in support of homophobia to the fans in the stands.
Came out to support homophobia?
They came out in support of the homophobia that has been happening in the stands.
How did they support? How did they support it? Oh, okay. Okay, I need to pick. Okay.
And no, there's one more. And the last one. Actor, male actor Colton Hayes has a baby bump.
Well, what? That's not
normal. Male actor Colton Hayes has a baby bump.
All right. So that one is bizarro-rama, so it must be true.
Okay. Yes. Actor Colton Hayes, who's on Arrow. I know no one knows who he is, but he's on Arrow. And he just, I think, sort of came out, but he's still in that glass closety phase or something. And he was like, he's like, just accept me for being me and weird. And he took a photo of him doing, like, you know, pregnant lady baby bump celebrity photo. I don't know. Oh, but he's hella cute, and he's really hot. He came out. And he, like I would have never guessed that he's gay, but, like, to me, it's another point that, like, there's so many queer actors in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And that this, like, D-list level actor, like, just bebopping around. He gay. Meanwhile, sucking that dick, licking them male nipples,
doing the butt sex. This is getting wild. And nobody knew. Nobody knew. Nobody cares. Just be yourself, boo. Just do you.
With your baby bump. Okay, back to the Quizlet.
Okay. Let's go backwards. So this soccer team in Mexico came out in support of homophobia. I'm going to say that one is fake, and they came out against homophobia.
Damn it! Yes! Oh, man. Because
that makes no sense.
Man.
I'm imagining.
I really tried my hardest to get you.
I'm imagining the soccer team being like, hate, 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 as they're like coming out.
Yeah, actually, this group of hot Latinos, this soccer team, they recorded, yeah, they did the opposite. They did a PSA saying, okay, hey, stop that.
It's that yeah. it. They're just like, stop it.
So yeah, Mr. Smithers finally came out of the closet. It's been 3 decades, and it was inspired by one of the writers, Rob Lazabink. His 21-year-old son just came out, and he wanted to just, he was like, oh, yeah, okay, Smithers should come out. And okay. He, during the writing process, he would ask, he was texting his son, he's like, so how does Grindr work?
Oh, no.
A very awesome, overly cool dad.
A question you never want to receive from your father.
Yeah, because as he's, like, writing a story for The Simpsons. No. And it also just shows, like, how far, you know, when Smithers first, back in the day, like, being gay was, like, you know, it was sort of the joke in the way, yeah. like, oh, his weird obsession. Now Smithers is going to date openly, not be obsessed with Mr. Burns. And
good.
It's about time.
Live his life.
So then working backwards, there was this gay man who wrote this story. He wrote this open letter wishing that he was gay because I guess he's very, like, gay acting, but he's straight. Mm-hmm. And he wishes, because then people would accept him as being an actor and a performer and a dancer and wanting to dress up in women's clothing. Like, and he wrote this letter saying, like, quotes of, like, you know, gay men are generally accepted in society, and society allows gays to break gender norms.
Uh-huh.
I think it's cute that this 21-year-old guy thinks that, like, these are, like,
it's yeah, like, gay. It's a freedom or some
maybe,
shit.
Maybe we've made it look a little too easy because it's not. And he should just really actually accept that he actually is, he should just accept that he's queer. Like, being queer does not necessarily mean, like, gay. Being right. queer is outside of the norm. Right. So, you are queer. Just accept it and be you. Like, stop. Don't write me a letter.
I know. Just live your life, man. Enjoy your straight privilege and live your life.
And wear the dress. Enjoy your straight privilege. Wear the dress. But don't tell ladies how to do it.
Exactly.
And the last one is a Nintendo employee was fired from... she got... Nintendo... So apparently in Japan, when games are in Japan, they change them up when they come over here to the US.
Oh, interesting.
Like, the ability to be a, like, promiscuous... Like, they'll change female characters' clothing. Like, in Japan, it's, like, underage... The girls look like underage teenage prostitutes.
Oh.
But by the time they get into the U.S., they're like, the U.S. won't stand for this. So they don't make them non-teenage female prostitutes. Or the ability, when you're making your characters in Japan, you can change their breast size.
Oh.
And in the U.S., you can't do that. Like, it's... Because... And so then...
They just come here large.
No, I think they're just, like, normal. Like, they just come... They're just, like, normal. Because, like... Like,
I've seen some of these boobies on the video games.
I think in the U.S. they're trying to not fetishize these characters. And this woman, Allison Rapp, she got all the criticism for this happening. And she wasn't involved in any of the meetings, but she was getting all of this hate from all these gamers, and she was being harassed by them, and Nintendo finally just let her go because she was being harassed so much, so they didn't have her back. They claimed that it was for other reasons, but people were upset because they were like, I wanted to be able to make big boobs on my character. God. Allison Rapp, and they were just harassing her because on her Twitter they were trolling for who on Nintendo is responsible for this, and they saw that she had some feminist like quotes, and so then they attacked her and blamed it on her of why they can't have slutty teen female big boob characters.
Oh my god!
So you gamers need to get your shit together.
Come on.
But I also say I'm terrified about the direction of virtual reality with, like...
Oh, you know it's just going to be all sex.
I know, and that makes me concerned. Like, everyone's going to be just, like, putting on their goggles and having virtual reality sex.
Totally.
And that makes me concerned.
20 years from now, it's
going
to be a bunch of sex robots and people having sex with computers.
Doesn't
Not
that make
even...
you concerned? Why are you so casually saying this?
I'll be an old lady.
I'm having anxiety about this. Like, call me an old man. I don't like it.
I know. It's weird. It's weird and annoying.
We're not going to love each other. We're not going to connect with each other. We're going to just go after this, like, and I'm afraid what the images we're going to be sexualizing, because if we do it off today,
James,
everyone's just going to be sexualizing these white buff.
That's why I'm getting married right now.
You got to lock that shit down. And throw his Oculus out the window.
Get that shit out of my house. Or maybe I'm one of Oculus. Who knows?
I know. Love in the real, Aneke. Love in the real. Love now.
Can I do a little fun fact? A little end of the show fun fact that I just found out?
Are we wrapping up the show now?
Well, I just kind of want to squeeze it in at the end of Quizlet Corner.
Okay, let's do it.
Everybody knows that 3D movies are pretty much here to stay. They're not going anywhere. They're all over the place.
Everywhere.
Did you know that Valerie Thomas, a black woman, physicist, inventor, and NASA data analysis, she invented the modern 3D technology?
Oh, so we could have those boobies.
Yeah. So I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Thanks.
Thanks, Valerie Thomas.
Thanks, Valerie Thomas. All right. Well, on that note, let's wrap it up. Let's wrap up the show like a dick.
Ew.
Like virtual reality dick.
That's just going to be a game. Put the condom on the dick. For high school students. See?
Oh, yeah. That's how they can learn. Okay.
That's,
I see.
That's good.
It's pluses.
That's good.
I'm so having anxiety. Move on. I'm out.
Goodbye, cruel worlds, in your virtual reality dicks.
Yeah, enjoy your virtual reality sex, y'all. Y'all need to connect.
Connect. Fun. I miss you right next to me and being in Dolores Park, but...
Aneke, yeah, it's been so great. Last week's episode was sorry, we thought it was going to be a good idea.
It got wild. Y'all, Dolores Park is wild.
It gets wild. It's like in Sense 8, where it looks like craziness, where there's, like, fairies running around and they're eating all those brownies.
Yeah,
it was
like
that.
It's
and that's where
up...
we decided to record our episode on Easter Sunday.
I know. It was actually very nice.
Thank God
nice
Hunky
until,
Jesus contest wasn't there.
But it was actually very nice for the first hour. And then we got surrounded by the youth of America screaming at us, doing
gotta
handstands.
Gotta start early. You gotta start by 10, out by noon, because they're hungover high asses. Or, you know, they have all this tech money, and they just come out and they just drink and do drugs out in the park.
Roll around.
And talk loudly.
Talk and real loud.
And call up all up on this podcast, all uninvited, with your hetero white male privilege, and pushed
this
us out of the way and got in the
This mic. Is my favorite part of recording. James was taking video, and this annoying girl who was by us was like, are you taking a picture? And James was like, it's video, can't you see? And I was like, okay, we need to shut this down. We need to get out of here. It was the best.
Oh, yeah. I almost got into a fight. She was like, and time to go.
Oh,
well, anyways,
love it.
That didn't happen this week, but I do miss you in the live and in the person, but
I know.
In less than a month, I'm going to come and see you.
Oh my God, can you believe it's happening? The wedding is happening.
Ding, ding, da-ding, ding, ding, dong, the witch, wait, no, wait,
witches. Oh, that took a turn.
I forgot which Ding Dong song it is.
It's ding, one of those.
Ding da dong.
We could do a mashup.
Ding da dong. Okay, please don't let that be your wedding march.
I come out in Darth Vader outfit.
You're like,
I do.
My hair is really cute.
I do.
Yeah, okay.
Cute. That's what's gonna happen.
Alright, well, I can't wait to see you, Nikki. I'll see you next week.
Yes, I'll see you next week. Have a good week, James.
Bye, girl.
Bye.
Don't forget to be fabulous all week long, not just on Friday.
Be fabulous Friday and the rest of the week. Bye.